Well, it's great to be here. To, you know, last week I wasn't here. I went over to the south with David. And it's great to be back home. And just to see everyone, to get into, you know, but on Friday, it was really great to be together as a family in that, you know, Friday meeting. And Toya did a fantastic job. So we talked a lot more about it. But I bring you definitely greetings from the church in the south. They were very, very encouraged and inspired by what God is doing amongst us. And it's so encouraging when you actually, when you come back, you're able to really get a better picture of what God is really doing amongst us. And I'm so very grateful. And all I mentioned that we recently got together with the leadership team of the Thames Valley. And they are, God is blessing them in an incredible way. And we met with both our team, Manku, and then Dennis Obongarijo, who are the leadership team there. And they are so inspired by us really, everybody participating and really serving in a godly way. And they want to help us in any which way they can. And so we have lined them up. And I know the past 2 years we've gotten Tim Daniel come over to preach for us. But this time Manku is also going to come along. Manku is, am I pronouncing his name right? Tidu. Let me just say it. Tidu. Tidu is his first name. Tidu is married with most of his kids are now disciples, and they're doing incredibly great. And we're looking forward to him. We're planning to work it out for him to come over with his wife and children, and he may preach on Sunday. And then we have a workshop with preteens and teens with the parents as well, and just get his family to just share, and we can be able to learn from them. And as well, I think hopefully Dennis one day will also come along. He is actually helping us with the setting up the charity, and he's the administrator for Thames Valley for several other churches, and he's a charity accountant, doing an excellent job, and just having him there as well. They were so encouraging and inspiring. We came out so fired up for serving God in the way we were serving God, and it's delightful that just to see them, they're like, anytime we need them, they really want to come along, and they want to have events that we can as well participate in. As you see from newsletter, you know, they're having their teens event over the short while, and they're opening it up for us for being our teens as well. So please, if you're a parent of teen, consider it. It's a worthwhile. I mean, one of their retreat camps, David went along to one of the camps. He really loved it. It was so impactful in his life. Anyway, I don't want to spend all my life preaching about all these things. But I just want to share a little bit about all the great things I feel that God is even doing amongst us. Because I was sharing with people in the sound, and I was getting charged up, because the more you talk about God opens your eyes to what he's really doing. And, you know, as we grow in our faith, God has really been changing us as a church. And sometimes we don't talk about us. We're busy talking about how we need to change, but really already God is doing incredible things amongst us. With the leadership team, I feel that, I mean, God has really changed a lot of our units and clear energy. Just with having both JP and Rose join in, and this year has been so great. Just the courses they've already organized. I know several of us attended the course that JP have worked so much on, and I mean, the report I hear from it was excellent. Was that the case? All right. Yes, tell me about it. And today's class has just started this week on God and work. And I heard about the slide show that he presented last week. It was everyone is talking about it. I like to have a look. But it's so great to see people just using their talent for God. And I really thank God for JP and Rose being on board. And as we said, it's not just that we want to be administrative on our own, but no, we want to use all that God has given us to serve everybody else. And that's what, you know, the churches around London are excited about, because, you know, last week, Toya and NEA were in Glasgow, you know, being with the church there. I was in the south. Today, JD was here early in the morning. Now he's gone to Thames Valley. So we're spreading ourselves, and at the same time, we're also having the privilege of having so many people come here to preach for us. And I believe it's all what God is working to keep us all as one and really being unified as brotherhood. Not whether we're administratively independent or not, that's not the issue. We are one body of Christ, and we will work and use all that God has given us, and to God be the glory. You know, for us, you know, this, some of us may be aware that every Sunday consistently now for nearly 2 years, there have been, you know, the prayer morning that several of the women go along to. And I'm so encouraged by it just to know that every single Sunday, there are Christians who are even praying for the service for every single one of us. And I want to encourage you, take some time out and join them. 10:30, they are just out there. I mean, consistently, I really thank God for just the fact that people will take out some time before the service starts. They can commit not only the service, but the people of God to prayer. And I believe that it's through that prayer, many of our prayers, God is really blessing us a great way. Our teams are doing fantastic. You know, we are talking about Kimberly, who is she? But she's been with us from, you know, Kids Kingdom and so on, as a teen, and it's a joy. You know, they're picking universities. But the exciting thing is that wherever they go, they have the love of God, and they continue to, you know, study and change. And thank goodness for the church in Birmingham, they really got in there, and, you know, very soon she's going to become a disciple. That's how to work together. And we have, you know, Joker over there in Southampton. She's attending Thames Valley Church. You know, these are our teens. They are really having a heart for God and want to do their best. You know, just this past two months, the teens have had the privilege of participating, I told you guys, in the National Chlamydia Screening. And that's a campaign that the government is doing. Not many people get a chance to even participate in it, but the teens, our teens have had a chance to get out there and really share with their own peers and have conviction about what, how to stand and really, you know, not engage in all the, you know, sexual, you know, warfare that's going on. Everybody, you know, in, as young as they are, they're involved in sex as regular as possible. But it's so good to see our teens having their own conviction, talking to people and really sharing them. I mean, you'll be so proud of them. And this is what God is doing amongst us. But at the same time, it's not only the teens. What the teens can do, the older ones can do too. I am really inspired by our older senior, you know, we're going to Golden Girls. Come on, guys. Golden Girls, yes. You know, here they are, you know, to qualify, you need to be in your, you know, I haven't reached yet, you know, but I'll be a Golden Boy, you know. But, you know, just to see them, I mean, it's like, whatever in the 60s is young, isn't it? I mean, we're talking 70s and over, right up there. But just to see their heart, I mean, they're committed, coming to things. There was Ruby and what's her sister? Joan. I mean, they took holiday. It was supposed to be holiday to take a break in Caribbean. But they went to a small church, mission church, and, you know, just gave their life for 3 weeks. Getting committed, they took books here, you know, for teens, you know, Transformer and so on to help out with the small church there. Isn't it awesome to see older people come instead of lying in the beach? They're actually involved with Christians in a foreign country some of them have not been into. That is so awesome. I mean, how can you be an 80 going on a mission team? It's just flat awesome. I just thank God for them. But I can be really not all these things, but you know, it's one thing to really be seeing what God is doing and soaking it up and not saying nothing about it. It's not really right. Because God is doing all these things amongst us. And He's doing it in our lives. And I would say, truly, so many of us, it's just been great to see how our spirit has come alive. People are doing things, printing invitations, it's like, a lot of the churches, when they hear about the fact that we are having every faith group take care of the church for a month, they're really mind blown because it's empowering. I mean, every faith group, their children get to welcome people, their children, everybody's involved making teas and ushering and serving. I mean, it's like organizing services. That is what the church is about. You know, it's like our faith group is almost, in the North London, it's already becoming like a mission team. Learning to organize, learning to use all the talents that God has put amongst us. This is what God is doing for us. And we should be glad and really encouraged. I want us to go to God in prayer, and then we're going to talk a little bit about understanding God's will. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for you, God, for your love you have for us. We thank you so much for the great way that you bless faith. That as we grow in our faith, you are changing our lives, and we're only just standing in awe of what you are doing.
Father, our prayers at the end of this year, we want to see you do incredible things. Using all our talents, God, helping us to realize dreams that you have embedded in our lives. And I pray, God, that you help us to begin to realize them, to use them to honor you, to honor one another, as we serve each other and serve all the people around us, God. Father, we pray that our serving, using our gifts, will bring you honor and glory. Father, be with us this morning and this afternoon as we look into your word. Allow your word to speak to us. That we will be people who are born alive in Christ, that we declare your glory forever and ever. We thank you so much. We pray that your spirit truly speaks from the pages of your word this morning. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 15, the Bible reads. Okay. It says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. You know, this passage is talking about, we've got to be very careful how we live. It's all about our life. God has given us a life, and it's for us to be careful, he says, that we've got to make the most of every opportunity. Because the day we are living in is evil. It's not easy. We're not immune to our society. But we are born of Christ and we can make a difference. But it says that we shouldn't be foolish. The rest of the passage talks about we shouldn't be controlled or get drunk with wine, but allow ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. But the key is all about understanding what the Lord's will is. See, when we understand what the Lord's will, what has God got in mind when he gave us the life he has given to us? What has God got in mind? It will help us to be able to embrace and take on all the goodness of what God really stands for. The whole Bible talks about the fact that God, the main thing that God really wants and desires is to lavish his love on us. And he wants and looks out for opportunities that he can bless our lives with. And he wants to fill our lives with abundance, goodness, and to ultimately spend eternity with us. That is what really the whole Bible has to read about. But it says, until we begin to understand what is behind what God is doing, when we understand it, then we are able to really fully enjoy the love of God, to enjoy the blessings of God, the abundance of what God really wants to do in our life. Like Jesus says, he has come so that we can have life and have it to the full. I love life. I don't like to be a boring person. I want to have good life in my life. And I know we all want to be happy. How many of us want to be miserable? Nobody wants to be miserable. But, you know, there are many things that happen in life that make us feel miserable and things like that. But God is saying, no. He's, you know, he has a plan. He gave us a life. And it's until we begin to understand what is behind it. You know, we've had many messages about understanding the love of God and how that we are loved, we are cared for. That, I mean, those are the things that will really help us to embrace. But in understanding the Lord's will, the key thing is actually about faith. I was this week, you know, been studying the Bible even with my son, and this message is inspired from that. I was studying the Bible with him. I was seeking God. And the more I studied, it's amazing. You learn so much as you will try to share the Bible with other people. And I thank God that, you know, this year, it is our goal that we want to express our faith, you know, through love. Isn't that right? And as we really outwardly give of our lives to share the gospel of Christ, we are going to be learning even more than even the people who we are sharing with. Because let's start with Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 11 verse 6 that we know so very well. It helps us see. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, I've read this passage many times. I've already read. The only thing that keeps resounding in my mind is, it is impossible to please God without faith. Isn't that true? No, like you think it's true or not. God says it's the fact. But it says, pleasing God. It's about understanding the will of God. Then you want to please God. And if you want to please God, it says, if you don't have faith, it is impossible. And you know, he spoke, even as I was teaching him, my son was saying, okay, why is it impossible? Is it, God is saying, it's impossible to please him if you do not have faith. But why is that? Now, what helped me begin to connect is, when you then ask yourself, you see, the calling of God for us to totally surrender our life, it's very hard for you to surrender your life to somebody who you don't even know. Now, have you ever left a property with someone you don't know? Would you like, if you're going on a holiday, oh, just see the first person that walk around here and say, hey, listen, please, can you take this key, look after my house for 1 week, I'm just going, I'll come back. If you did that, what would people think of you? You're lost it, isn't it? You don't carry a key and give it to strangers. But how much more our lives? To totally surrender our lives to somebody we don't really know. That is part of it. It's like, now, would you really give your whole life to someone to care for who you don't even know they really care about your life? See, that is why it's impossible to be able to trust, to have, you know, to please God when we don't even know him and we don't trust him. And the thing that it really goes on to talk about is that, you know, for anyone who comes to God, you see, it's all about coming to God. That to come to God, there's two things we need, and those are the things I really want to expand on today. It says the first thing is to believe that God exists. When I read that, I was like, okay, yeah, believe that God exists. Well, we already believe God exists. Yes. Yeah, some people kid themselves. But think about it. The more I thought about it, to believe that God exists. You can intellectually believe that God exists. But the way we live sometimes doesn't really show that God exists. And God is saying, listen, if you are going to enjoy the goodness, the love, all that I want to lavish on us, I really believe as a church, it's time that we really decide, do you believe and show by our life that we believe that God exists? Now, many people go, hey, a lot of people would like to say, oh no, we don't believe in God exists. But I was thinking about it. When you trash something that God has poured his whole life into, now, is that really honoring him or pleasing him? I was thinking about it. One of the things is like, I am not very good with doing DIY or building anything. But back in school, I had to do woodwork. And I built this cabinet. And let me tell you, what it took to build that cabinet, you will not imagine. And I built it. It was wobbly. But I got home. I know if the rest of my siblings saw it, the way they will laugh and respond may not encourage me. So I knew who to give it to. I gave it to my mom. And my mom, she was really appreciative, and she took it. Now imagine if I gave it to her, and she trashed it, and goes, what is this? And treated it like, if, you know, oh yeah, okay, thank you very much, and put it aside. I'd be so wounded. But one of the things that really amazed me is that, as rickety as this thing was, it was cool. I don't know how my mom kept this cabinet I built. I went to university, did everything I did, went to mission team. After 22 years, I came back to her house and there was this cabinet still in my mom's bedroom. And I was one who was so embarrassed that this thing is still in this house. How do I explain it to my son? That I spent 6 months building this thing. But you know, when I saw it, it really, really sank into my heart. It made a difference. I mean, you know, more nicer feeling to have this thing is a real mess. In fact, I was one who destroyed the family because it just couldn't exist. But this thing is literally, I bet she got other people to really knock it into proper shape. Because it was, I did it though. You know, it took me 6 months. It was precious. And she preserved it. It meant a lot. I believe it's like God. God made, he spoke them into existence. But when it came to human beings, to us, he made us in his own image. And all the time he wants to lavish his love and show us how much he really cared. And then when we carry this our life and trust it whichever way we like, that is a way of showing he doesn't exist. See, many people, God doesn't exist, it's not saying with your mouth. But when we live a life like if our life was an accident, then we're saying God doesn't exist. We were not formed. We were not created. It's not, we were not planned. You know, I was teaching my son, the thing that came to mind was a laptop. That's what they can relate to, you know, all this computer thing. And I thought, a laptop, this is an example, and what I share about a laptop, it really began to dawn on me, this is what it's all about, a laptop. You throw a laptop, maybe, say in the forest of Africa, and someone walks up there who has never seen a laptop before, he picks it up. What do you think he's going to think? Wow! And we're talking about, he goes, man, this looks really strong, what can I do with it? Wow! And it's shiny, really nice, wow! He can use it for table mat, so that everyone who comes can see this, oh wow, shiny table mat. And he can use it for many things. You know, it's the same way like for us. Our life is like a laptop, but we can use it whichever way we like. But you know, the one who made the laptop knows the software he has loaded inside the laptop. Now, if you open the laptop, maybe, you know, this chap who found it opens it, and he puts it, whoa, light comes on, and he goes, wow, this is amazing, this is incredible, whew. And he keeps pressing different things, and you know, he could jam up the whole program, destroy the whole thing, complicate it all, and crash the whole program, as many of my computer in the house has been doing these days. They're all crashing here and there, and I mean, viruses, he could press all the things and do all the, wow, this is really great. That is how sometimes a lot of us go through life. Like, wow, oh, this is really amazing, yeah, okay, I'll do this. But if only we could go to the people who built this laptop together, they can now show us the amazing things they have loaded inside those things. That is what our life is like. That unless we go to God, he says, if anyone is to come to me, he must first realize that this life or this laptop is not just an accident. It was planned. There are things loaded in it. Many of us, it will take us our lifetime to fully realize what God has loaded into our lives. You know, if I had it my way, man, the only thing I would think I am gifted in is, well, mathematics. In fact, I wouldn't have figured that one out because I was busy fighting in school. Only one person figured out, well, you know, I was able to do well in a mass quiz test the day. And he put me in a class with, you know, people who are supposed to be bright. Man, that got to my bones. I am in the, so to say, dance class, you know, it's like in 3-6. He put me in 3-1 for maths. So when I'm going to the class, all my friends are looking at me, what are you doing in that place? But I said, no, man, if I'm there, I'm going to prove myself. And you know, I did prove myself. And in fact, from the bottom, I was one of the top in the class. And you know, I thought, yeah, math is my thing. The Lord has blessed me. And I went to university, studied that, and yes, I want to be an actuary in a machining business. And you see, I have planned out my whole life. And that's all I thought is my gift. And you know, without God, I wouldn't have even ventured into any other thing. It would be maths. But today, I don't even do maths that much, but I have a life. I have so much more. And I know so many of us here, the gifts that we think we have, it's only a minute thing to what God has embedded in our lives. And unless you begin to acknowledge that hey, God does exist, how do you do that? In Acts chapter 17, Paul explains it a little bit to the Athenians. We may be familiar with the passage from verse 24. Paul met with this council of philosophers, who are figuring out, okay, what's my life about? What's life about? And all this. And then Paul began in verse 24. He talks about the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hand. And is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. For one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men will seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of the young prophets have said, we are his offspring. He says God did all this. God determined the places, the position in life, the situations. He's working everything, he's working our life. Everything we do is like we move and live and be in him. It's almost like, no, God is not a human being, but imagine if God was this whole body of mine and here's my palm, one little dot on this palm is like us in God. The whole life we live, maybe our universe is just a circle here. So wherever you go, you just in here. When we live and move, everything we do is inside God. He's not far from us. But to really be able to experience him, we must first begin to acknowledge that our life is not an accident. My life is full of something. When I find out what it's all about or I have one, I gotta find out. If anyone is to come to him, he must first believe that God exists. You know, we talked about on Friday, we were talking about telling story. David tells his own story regarding that his own life is not an accident. And that is how to really show and begin to acknowledge who God is in our life. You know, telling our stories is all about acknowledging, this is what God has been in my life. He is alive today. He is planning. He is plotting. He has a plan for me. How are we doing telling our stories? We can sit and analyze what is story, but no. The fact you are taking a breath, you have a package of story. We all have a journey. Look at, you know, Psalm 139. As David tells his story, he says in verse 1, this is about David showing his acknowledgement of God, that God exists. He says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will uphold me fast. If I say, surely the Lord will hide me, or the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The light will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My form was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they will outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
Now, I find this really convicting, but it's inspiring, because this is David truly acknowledging that God is in everything, everywhere in his life. The first portion is just acknowledging that, listen, where am I going to hide? If I go here, he's there. He is actually maneuvering, working things out. He's working my presence out. I can only lift my hands up. Many a times we find a struggle to praise God in our situation. We may be going through tough times. And all of it's like, wow, like when I come out of it, then I'll really be able to praise the Lord. The journey is just as important as the end. And sometimes even more important. Because it's the journey that fashions us out. It's through the journey that God fashions exactly what we are. The way that our life acknowledge that God does exist. It's very, very important to really think about. And you know, the one that we talk about, it says, even our past, how we were made. You know, scientists can sit around and figure out, wow, you know, we can put together human beings. But let the scientists go and produce me a sperm. Let them go produce the egg. Not really. When they have it, they will try and fuse it. Well, we will continue. It is a mind that God has given us to. But sometimes, when we are figuring out what God is doing, David is able to put them all together. He says, even when nobody, my parents knew nothing about me, you saw my unformed body. That's how much God is so involved in our lives. This very life that we have, it is a package by God. God has fashioned it. He has a purpose for our life. He has a meaning. We cannot live our life like, oh wow, yes, okay, as it comes. It's for us to open our eyes to see what God is already doing. What God has done and what he's doing. There is nothing that we are going through that God himself will not bring us out. 1 Corinthians, Isaiah 7:10-13, it talks about the fact that, hey, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But even when we go through it, God himself will put a way out so that we can escape. Is that what it says? No. It's not so that we can escape. So that we can actually stand up on top. God's plan is that whatever we're going through, he is going to use it to make us gain victory. He's going to use it for our better. The journey is just as sweet as it. So we have a story. You see, David can tell his own story. He's telling his God, wow, where can I go? God is, you're so impressive. Oh, you are everywhere. Man, my thoughts, you even know. Oh, he's telling his story. You have a story. And I really do have a story. And as we read David's story, we can relate to a lot of it, can't we? Oh yeah, you know, I feel that way, I feel that way, I feel that way. That's what our own story will do to people who we talk to. And it's for us, in testifying to who God is in our life, that's how we acknowledge that God does exist. When we are not testifying, we shut God out. It's like if God doesn't exist. We are a people of God called to declare his praises. Isn't that right? What a holy nation. A people chosen by God. That's who we are. God is, thinks of us special. You know, in I want to remind us, you know, one of the passages that a lot of us will read, I read a lot, is Jeremiah 29, where God talks about, you know, the plans that he has for us. But I was just reading it this week, and one of the things that dawned on me is just the fact that this passage was written to people who were caught up in an exile. And in their situation, it's like they were taken away from their own country, in a foreign country, and it's like no hope, where is it going to be? But in a short while, we read it, but God just tells them, listen, I have a plan. I have a plan for your life. I bring you back. My plan is to give you a hope and a future. Let's quickly go to my second point. It says, first point is that we've got to believe that God exists, but the second is that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You know, earnestly seeking God, God rewards. The fact that, yes, we can't believe that God exists, But James chapter 2 talks about that even the devil believes that. But see, where is that? It is not just that, oh yes, I believe in this spirit. Yes, there is a force out there. Yeah, we were created. I believe in a creator. No, no. It's also knowing that that creator has something to do with my life today. That he rewards those who honestly seek him. That there is something. You know, as we talked, related to the laptop, I was, sharing that, the laptop, we can damage it the way, crash it, do everything, but if we took it to the people who really made it, they will wipe it all clean. Clean out the whole laptop and then infuse a new software. That's what God is looking to do for us. No matter how much we damaged it, no. If you seek him earnestly, guess what he wants to do? He wants to clean the whole computer. Like if you've never damaged it before. Clean our whole life. You know, I appreciate the communion that all I was sharing. That he will wipe it as clean like if it never was ever damaged. And he will infuse a new thing. And for those of us who have risen up from the water of baptism, God has given us the Holy Spirit. It's not just that he has put in new software in there. He has put in the very spirit that created the whole world in there. So it's like you're producing the whole thing. It's almost like you found the laptop, but that's all you found. But now God cleans it up and then gives you the power source that you can have power all the time, regenerating the whole thing. It's so exciting. Right? It's not, our life is not really like a laptop. Right? laptop just came because he was really into it in a big way. But it's whatever it is. It's helping us to just understand how God feels about it. But we've got to be honest seeker. God himself is very out showing what it really means to give all our hearts and everything. You know, the passage we read in Luke chapter 14 and 15. It's all about God expressing to us what is about wholeheartedness. We read about the parable of the banquet. I share, where God has a banquet, yes? And he's talking about souls. He has a party, and then he sends out his servants to go and call those who have been invited. And those who have been invited went out there, and they're telling them, oh, the banquet is ready, come on now. One of the things that I really find most impressive is that when they came back, the master said, well, I still got one room. Now go back and invite people who were not even invited. And the impressive thing is that the servant says, oh sir, we've already done that. That is really, imagine being the one you said. And the very thing that you are thinking, you've already done it. Those servants of God, that is what it's all about, going the extra mile. And I believe as a church, we have begun to do that. So many of us are really now busting out before, anything is given up. We are using our gifts. New gifts are coming up. And I believe that is how the church of God is supposed to function. That we all carry each our part and do part. And if there's something, we give it our best. And go the extra mile before it's even mentioned. Because, this is all we've got. And that's what God really wants. And God himself in Luke 15, he talks about the parable of the lost coin, the lost seller. I love that passage because it tells me how much God really values every single soul. It says that God drops everything. That's how he's wholehearted he is. That's earnestly seeking after us. It's not that God asks us to do things that he himself is not doing. He said he loves us so much, he's willing, he will not even spare his own son. But like a coin that is lost, he said the man who lost the coin, he stops every other thing. He's got more money in his pocket, but that one coin meant so much to him. Till he finds it, he's not doing any other thing. Imagine, he could have lost that coin, gone out work, and earned a few more pounds. But that coin seems to be so not important to him. The same with the lost sheep. The lost son is the same thing. But as I keep sharing with you, when I think about the lost son, it's the second one that keep applying to me because I always think, I've done my wild days, I'm back home with the Lord. But the older son, he's back home with the Lord too. But he's not earnestly seeking God. He's in the same house with God, but the earnestness, he doesn't have the things of God. So that when God is stopping the whole angels and everything to have a party for his son that has come home, he wasn't part of it. And one of the things they hear Kimberly is going to get baptized, they're like, wow, wow, she's going to become a Christian. It's part of their dream. God is going to stop the angels, everybody in heaven God's heart, so that one child can come on home. That's so exciting. And that's what we're all going to be participating in. That's how God himself shows his earnestness. But I want to close that by reading, well, I was going to read Jeremiah 29, but we know the passage. God just says, well, let me just read it. Okay, let's Jeremiah 29:47. No, I read from verse 11 to 14. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. I found that very encouraging, and it's almost like a picture of what Jesus does for us. They've gone into exile because of their sins and so on. They've been taken away to a foreign land. But what God tells them in verse 4, he wrote a letter through a prophet to the people who are in exile and tell them, listen, make home, build, marry, stay where you are, make the most of the situation you are in. If you read it from verse 4 to 10, it tells them, settle down, even a foreign country. Stop spraying like, oh, you know, what's happening home, where should I go home? You know, that's what we do with our life, guys. Wondering, what would it be like in the other side? Or what? No, no, because the situation you are, settle down, make something out of it. I know the plans I have for you. He's going to bring them back into the same plan. He has always had a plan, a covenant he made with Abraham. He's going to bring it about. And now none of them are going to stop him. So whatever it is, a settle down, make the most of it, I will bring you back. And he will bring them back. And the plan he has for them is one that will prosper them, will make, you know, just fuse them with hope. He says, you will seek me. There is a condition, you've got to give all your heart in your seeking. You know, in the things we do for God, it is not about how much we work for God. It's the attitude in which we go about it. And I really believe, with all my heart, it is not about whether we use our gift in, here. What is the attitude behind it? Is he acknowledging the Lord of hosts for who he is in our life? The attitude, is he wholeheartedness? Is he one that honors God? He says, do it that way because I know the plans I have for you. And I believe that God is saying the same thing to us today. He knows the plan he has for every single one of us. He knows the plan he has for North London Church. He knows the plan he has for the whole of London. He knows the plan he has for the whole of UK. But let's do our own in a way that honors our God. I want to close out by reading Proverbs chapter 3. This passage has changed my life, and I believe it's going to change my life again. Proverbs chapter 3. I read from verse 5. I'm sure we are familiar with the passage. It starts from verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, not some of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will bring over with new wine. Well, it's not really about wine and things and everything, but it's about what they can relate to. For us, it's about life overflowing. It depicts the whole thing we're talking about. It's about trust in God. Have faith. Without faith, you can't. But what is he asking us? He says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways. Meaning everything. Let's acknowledge him. We have a story to tell. We have a journey that God has walked with us, even from our birth. You know, think about it. Maybe you kill your children in abortion. We could have been
here do? The fact that you stand here is that God made sure the right,
well,
the right Paul led the right head, and we as used to them, boom. If it was a different one, it wouldn't be you, it wouldn't be me. Do you get it? Even before we were formed, God, it was all swimming, you know, besides with the billions of it swimming, and the other one is a boom, just a white one met. Come on, let's get it. That's before. And then even when we were born, boom, our parents then see us. That's after God has done 9 solid months, even more. And then our parents see, oh, this is my. But no. God is working, and He gives us the human father. And that's why the Bible says, listen, even your human father, if you ask for bread, they don't give you stones. If you ask for fish, they don't give you snake. How much more? He's God. Will give you. He wants to love you. So He created the whole world for us to enjoy, to have life to the full. He wants to give you. He says, listen, in all your ways, let's acknowledge Him. Let's not just think, oh yeah, okay, I come to church, oh my Christian faith, have a Christian activity. It's not an activity. How do you do your work? How do you do it with your neighbors? I'm your child, how do I do at home? I don't waste my energy at work and then come back home. Oh, I'm tired, everybody give me a break. And then the kid just, I gotta do it. Then he's like, coming back, I've got my work here at home, and then, okay, I wanna be busy, don't disturb me. That's not really acknowledging God in every way. That's what happened. All I was sharing about anger, then I get angry because I have so much expectation, I wanna accomplish things, I wanna do what you want. But hey, listen, acknowledging God is realizing God has a plan. It will work out. Smile. Laugh. God wants us to have a lot of laughter. Laugh makes your heart light. But some of us strike in, I don't laugh. And you can get a comedian come and make you laugh, but that's just for a short minute. And you still go back and you're not that happy. But God says, no, I have it. And here's the thing. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear God and shun evil. And He says, bring health to your bones. But finally, He just says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of your crops. Jesus gave us the same challenge. That, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to go. It's not about where your heart is, then you're going to put your money into it. No. It's whatever is taking your time, your money, your energy, that's where your heart is going to be. Your talent. Where is it more actively used? That's where your heart is going to finish. If we are using our talents actively in God's kingdom, for God, that's where our heart is going. But if our talents, or everything God has given, is more actively used elsewhere, you'll be guaranteed your heart will end up wherever your talent, your wealth is. Honor the Lord with first fruit. First fruit, we all give our tithes, and I really want to feel that church has done very well in giving our tithes, and we're going to feel proud about what we have done with giving our tithes. But hey, let's give it with the attitude that God has given, and God will bless us in every way. May God bless you.